And that music, that song, it leads us right, that's a segue, and it leads us right into the message. We're going to talk about that today, God's chosen holy people, and see what we can find and dig out some practical application for you. But before we do that, I've discovered over prowling around and talking to people that one of our guests from Junction has a birthday today. Miss Joanna in the red back there has a birthday, and you're not escaping it. So everybody give her a big hand back. This is her birthday. She told me to let you know she has turned 26 today. We're proud of you. You've done well for such a young girl. All right. Anything else? Am I forgetting anything? I don't trust myself. Has anybody asked me to give a message? I mention this every once in a while. If there's something I need to address, please don't ever hesitate to hold up your hand and stop me as I'm getting started, because once I sit down there and start looking at my notes, at the passage, I'm there. And I forget things. It's like it's all, and you have to do that. There's got to be that total, that focus. And you need to do that whatever you're doing in life. And when you're studying God's Word, put yourself in a place where there's just that focus. That's all there is. That's all that counts at the moment. And let it just begin to absorb and encompass you so that it can flow out of you. Natural. You know, as a spirit is to flow out of us as rivers of living water. I wanted to ask you, does anyone know where you go to learn how to make a banana split? Well, in Sunday school. Okay. Do you know why I do that? Anything after that makes it so much better. Let's look. We're going to be talking in Colossians, and I'll hit you with another passage or two. But you will find that it's like when I start reading this, you'll know instantly. Oh, he's hit on these pieces of this many times. I have, and yet God just keeps. He'll bring you back to these familiar passages, and it's like, what did I miss? Why, who missed what? Why are we coming back to something that's so familiar? And yet, whenever we do, we just find so many more insights. So here it is again. It says, this is the New Living Translation I'm using today, but in Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And make allowance for each other's faults. I bet you're thinking, I don't like this one already, you know. And forgive anyone who offends you. Now we really don't want it. And remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds all together in perfect harmony. If you read the rest of this, there's more to it. And it talks about peace and letting God's peace reign in your heart. And I don't have time for all that. But you read the before and after, so you can flesh this out. Make a Bible study of this. It's really, really good. But I needed to throw in out of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses to add to this, because we want to build on this a little bit. Verses 15 and 16, but now you must be holy in everything you do. You won't have this up here. I put this in. God just kind of impressed us on me, and I thought, I need to share 1 Peter. And I thought, well, I don't have even time, and I wasn't going to worry about it, but you can just listen to this. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. Everyone hear that? You must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say you must be holy because I'm holy. And you're thinking, boy, we got a lot of holiness going on here today. We sure do. And I just have 3 points, you know, but you're well aware my 3 points can turn into 7 or 8 points. I know, and I try hard to stay with just the 3 points. But let's talk for a minute about holy. You know, we come to church and we want to hear something exciting and wonderful, and it makes us feel good, and you will. You will. I try to follow the principle of an old pastor when I was young. And isn't that awful? You know, there was a time when I referred to people as old. I don't do that anymore. But there was a time when there was an older pastor. Old, we called him old. I said, oh, he's old. And he said, he said, let me tell you about bringing a message. You know, it's like he's talking to children, seminary children. And he says, first, you tell them what you're going to tell them. And then you tell them. And then you tell them what you told them. And I thought, that's a good principle for preaching or teaching right there. Tell them what you're going to tell them. So I'm going to talk about holiness and what it means and how to honor God and how to glorify God. Then I'm going to tell you all about it. Then we're going to tell you what I told you. But you'll see that sneaking through in a lot of things. So if you wonder sometimes, why does he kind of once in a while repeat some things? Because I'm telling you, and I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it, and then we're going to tell you what we did. And I think it's a real good thing, because we have to hear repetition to let it sink in. We have to hear it more than once. Maybe that's why God brings us back to passages like this. But we talk about holiness. You see, what is it? See, here's the problem. When you hear a message, you can read these passages, but you ever ask yourself, what the heck does it mean? And how do I do it? Okay, so God tells me right here, you know, you must be holy. And in 1 Peter, he says, be holy as God is holy. And you're going, you ever thought about, you know, okay, that's great. What is it? What is it and how do I do it? And if the message does, you know, if it doesn't contain what is it and how do you do it, then it doesn't help us, does it? And on this one, you've got to have some details here. And so on this holy business, what does it mean? What did that mean in that day? What did it mean in original language in the Greek? You know, it means set apart, but set apart to God. Different, unique. But primarily the meaning, the tense in the Greek was you're set apart as somebody different than everybody else. So realize this. That everyone in this room, regardless of how your peculiarities or how weird you are, how strange you act, what food you eat that others go, oh. I thought about getting up here this morning and saying, oh, for breakfast this morning, I had fried Spam and sardines. But I thought, if, you know, don't do that. No, they won't hear another thing you say. I didn't have any of that, but I just thought I'd say it. The other night I did get carried away, and I had some smoked sardines. And I thought, I was given some, a can of smoked sardines. And I thought, try them. And I did. And you know, I ate those things, and, you know, you sit out on the porch to eat sardines. Don't eat them in the house. But you look around, and all you see all these little eyes looking at you. And it's like, I need to go in. Anyway, I really enjoyed those things. So try smoked sardines. If you think you don't like a lot of foods, eat smoked sardines and you'll love everything else that you're given. Holy. Set apart to God. Now, let's hit it. Let's hit it head on. Admiral Nelson, if you ever read back in, now of course we don't, but back in the old days, Napoleonic days, when the British Navy and the French, and they were battling it out. And Admiral Nelson, their great hero. And his whole philosophy on battles at sea, you know, the old wooden sailing ships and everything, and they'd boom, boom, broadside to broadside. His philosophy is no tactics, just go right at them. You know, a lot of times, folks, quit messing around, just go right at it. That's what we're going to do today. In this holiness business. You know, when it says be holy, what the world? Okay, set apart. Set apart. Let's hit it this way. Holiness is not a state of feeling. It's not what you think of yourself. And it's not what other people think of you. Because right now, most of us, if we're honest, don't feel real holy. Do any of you right now feel far less than holy in this place? Sure you do. So it's not what you feel. And it's not what I think of myself. I do not think of myself as holy. I can never be holy on my own. Just let me drive home on I-10 after church and I won't be thinking holy of myself. And I don't know why everybody out there driving is an idiot but me. No, thank you very much. Holy is not how you feel. Holy is not based on how good you are. You say, well, what is it? It's not, and listen to this, it's not others' opinion of you. So what is it? What is holy, to be set apart? What is being holy? How do I define that? What does that mean to me? It's a state of being. Holy is what I become when God, when I receive Jesus Christ and God gives me His Holy Spirit, when I repent of my sins and I ask Jesus in my heart, the holiness of God is given to me. It is a part of my salvation experience. There's nothing I can do to ever be holy. But here's the good news. Because God gives it, it's not based on how I feel today. Because there's a lot of days, most days, I do not feel holy. Holy's spectacular. Holy's different. Holy, you know, you can say grace in other words, and okay, but holy, and we kind of back up and we say, only God is holy. That's exactly right. And it says, be holy as He is holy. And He gives us that essence of Himself, His holiness. And He puts it in our hearts. And we don't even get it. That we're holy people. You say, well, if you saw my life, if you heard my language, if you saw my temper spells and whatever else it is, it's not based on that. It's based on God giving you His essence, His being, and putting His, at least a portion of His holiness in your heart when you believe. You're a holy people. And it sets you apart. That's why you can do something wrong, but you don't like it after you've done it. Because it scratches on your holiness. And the Holy Spirit convicts you, and He says, this is less than holy. Holy requires a different person, a transformation. It affects my whole being. I'll never be perfect, but I am holy. Holy according to what God says. Now listen. Holiness, you need to appropriate it. And you say, oh good, there's one of those good church words. What, you know, great. I used to hear that, appropriation. And you're going, I don't know what that means, and I'm not going to ask and look stupid. What's appropriate mean? Appropriate it mean? Here's this. Just like grace, God gives you holiness and He puts it in a spiritual package within your heart. He expects you to unwrap it. That's appropriation. You take it to yourself. Many of you are sitting here and God's given you such great things like this holiness, and you're still admiring the wrapping instead of taking it out of the box and putting it on. Quit looking at the wrapping and take the gift. We do that in Christianity all the time. We're looking at the wrappers. Take the gift. Take the gift. You see, wow, you know, and it transforms me. My body, your body, is the temple of the living God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. So unwrap that holiness, jerk off the wrapper, and just let it become what it's meant to become and set you apart. It won't make you sinless. It won't make you perfect, but it'll drive you towards that. Isn't this great? Good, because we're not even through the first point yet. We got to move on. Let me tell you some things that holiness involves. What does it mean in all this? It means my salvation. It incorporates that. And transformation. You see, What does that mean? God's changing me every day. Through the good, but through the bad. I tell people in the work I do outside of this, you know, that they're all torn up because they stumble and they fall. It's like, this is your grand moment. It's not in our successes that we become great. That's human thinking. It's what you do when you hit on your face. When you've thrown it all aside and you did it. You knew you were doing it and you did it. And then God picks you up and you discover who He is and how much He cares for you. And He transforms you through that. My transformations have not come through doing great things or preaching this word. Transformation has come through when I wasn't preaching this word, when I didn't want to preach it, when I was down and discouraged and beat up. It comes through what happened a year ago, when you sense your helplessness, total helplessness for the first time in your life, and then transformation begins. And you begin understanding Him more and how caring He is and how much more He could be doing in and through our lives if we just stop wrestling and fighting with Him and accept it. Open the box. Holy means unique. It means God. It means you. It means Christ in you, your hope of glory. And it means I no longer conform to the world's idea of me. Don't do that. Don't let they tell you how to be. Let God tell you how to be. You with me? Dress your way. Be your way. I have, once in a while, people, they're not being mean to me, but they laugh. They say, we never see pastors much in hiking boots, you know, these days. And it's like, that's me. Well, if I wore a pair of slippers in here or something, you'd be going, his cheese slid off his cracker. This is me, right? You're used to me. I'm used to me. I'm comfortable in this. And I'm comfortable in God's holiness within me. And He wants you to be that way. I'm not comfortable when I mess up. But all the same, I'm comfortable with who I am in Him. Why aren't you? What are you struggling with? Let Him transform you. And stop adopting the world's philosophy and people's ideas of you. You're the salt and the light. That's what holiness makes me when I'm set apart. I become salt. I become light. You know what I become? In my holiness, and not mine, but God's holiness in me, I become Christ to the world. They can't see Him, but they can see Christ in me. And that's the only way they're going to see Him. And so open that box and let that holiness just begin to flow out of you in your transformation, in your Christ-likeness. And when you start to lose that temper, you know, it'll eventually grab you before you get too far. It'll even begin somewhere along the line stop you before you go. But right now, as you begin to appropriate, open the box, open this holiness thing of God into your life, you'll mess up, but He'll immediately begin speaking to you when you do. God's in the business of changing people. God likes change. People don't. We like the same clothes, don't we? Same chairs. Well, ladies, no, not all of you. You like to change things around in houses. Most of us don't like that. You can come visit me anytime in my home as long as you don't drink out of my silver coffee cup or move my chair. You can sit in it, just don't move it. And we get kind of cranky about those things, but God's in the business of change. And let me tell you something, God will move your chair. And God will take and rearrange your whole house. And I'm talking about this house. He'll knock at that door and you let Him in. And He'll say, I'm going to do some house cleaning here, guys. And you're going to have a whole new house. And you're not going to be comfortable with it at first. But pretty soon you're going to start liking it. To be holy. to be different. To walk, listen, to walk with character, honor, integrity that holiness produces. And if there's anything that every Christian in this room needs from every other Christian in this room and the world out there needs from us, is to walk that holiness, that honor, that integrity. Just being who we are. By the way, and being human and not playing like we're something else. Walking in this building should not make us change. It should make us joyful. You follow me? A lot of people change when they walk in the door of a church setting. They're just all out there, and they walked in that door, and then suddenly something happens. They walk through the holy zapper, and they're different. Why is that? And here's how people excuse it. They say, well, we're in the house of God, and we must act appropriately. Well, I'll tell you something. You're not in the house of God. You're in the place where God's house meets. Because the house of God is right here. And right there, and right there, and right there, and right there. My temple, your temple, is the house of the living God. Is it not? So why do we act different here than out there? It should all be the same. You say, oh, I can't do that. Then let that holiness change you out there. Everybody with me? I had to pastor churches where everybody, you know, I mean, it was amazing how holy people became when they walked in the door. And they used to call me brother. Brother Tony. Remember that? Brother Tony. Oh, don't call me Brother Tony. I can't handle it. I don't want to pass before my time. Don't call me that. Tony's just fine. But yeah, brother and sister. What is that? Anyway, I'm rambling. I have to get on my soapbox. For those of you who can't see, there's a little box over here. It says Tony's Soapbox. I get on that when I'm getting off of the passage and I'm going to tell you what I think. It's out of the book of Tony. So I get on that. So everybody knows, okay, he's speaking for himself. He's on his little thing today, but I won't get on it. Let's move on so you can go. And y'all have a trip. They're all going on vacation. In the sun. And the surf. I'm going to London in the heat and the red dirt. Thank you very much. So you're chosen to be holy. God wants you to be holy. How about this, though? He wants you to honor him. He wants you to... Oh, man, listen. God chose you to be like Jesus. And we say, oh, we know that. Do you? Do we know it? He chose us to be like Jesus. Say, okay, what does that mean? You know, when we say things, tell people what it means. He tells you here. He says, you clothe yourselves with mercy and kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. I don't have to talk about patience in this room. I know this room's full of patient people. Okay, so I lied. All right. Yeah. Do we all struggle with patience? You want to pray? Do you want it now? Do you ever pray, God, your will be done in your time? I pray it because I have to, not because I want to. When I pray, I'm it's like I'm going to walk out and there it is. Listen to me. God wants you to have mercy. You know what mercy is? I can give you all this Greek and rhetoric and all that stuff. Do you know what it means? It means I give you a break. I give you another shot at it, and another shot at it, another shot at it. A merciful person, blessed are the merciful, right, that obtain mercy. Merciful people give another person a break, even when they don't deserve it. And they have kindness. You know what it means? Kindness, putting it in everyday terms, kindness means I lighten up on you. You know, I lighten up on you, and I give God a chance to change you. That's what kindness is. I keep doing good to you even when you're not good. And gentleness means I know how to speak the truth lovingly. It means that I am a person that people can value, listen to this, value and respect. Gentleness is not weakness, it's strength. And patience, yeah. That means I keep hanging in there and I wait for God to move. I wait for God to answer. I wait for God to do it. But I do the waiting. Listen to me. People can say, I'm waiting on the Lord. But how do you see him say? How many times have you heard somebody say, well, I'm just being patient and waiting on the Lord. And you think, if you wait much longer, we'd be burying you. God wants you to wait on him with joy, knowing that my waiting is transforming. It's changing me. It's strengthening me. It's making me somebody that I'm not today, but I'll be tomorrow. You with me? You say, why does God make me wait? Because through the waiting, I become more holy, more of what he put me here to be. I don't like waiting. But through the waiting, I'm changed. And then when I get the answer, I get the blessing, I use it in holiness to God's will. We good? Everybody say we're good? Because if you don't say that, I'll have to repeat myself and this will last longer. If you say we're good, then I'll move on to the last point. We good? Oh, I thought that. Okay. Good. Okay. We're going to close with this. Ready? Thirdly, you know why God chose you? He says he chose you to be the holy people he loves. He chose you to what? Bring him honor and glory. He chose you. God chose you to bring him honor and glory. Let me hit this list real quick. How? What he said right there. I make allowance for everybody's faults. Personal note, it did not say I make allowance for people's sins. I make allowance for their faults. I can love you, and you can love me, but you don't have to love my sin. Everybody with me? However, there's lots of faults we have that are not sins. Just because, you know, you continuously scratch your ear when somebody's talking to you, it's not a sin. But it's annoying as the dickens. Right? And some people pinch themselves. And others wiggle their nose. I don't know why they do that. And those of us that wear glasses, we're doing this all the time, just fiddling with them. Isn't that annoying? We're supposed to make allowance for that. Some of you, you try to talk before you've swallowed all your food, right? Anybody here? No, don't raise a hand. But you know what I mean. And then isn't that annoying? It's going, we make allowance for that. See, that's what you make allowance for. It's people's peculiarities. They're weird things. The table over here from Junction, there's no weirdness there. They don't have these problems the rest of us have. But you can listen and help us that do have these problems. And I know Daniel's never had a weird thing in his life, has he? Or Kyle sure doesn't. And what's that, Joanna? You want to stand up and tell us something? Okay, no. We all have them. I have one I don't do here. And if I tell you, you're going to be looking for it from now on. But my sister, I've got a sister who, well, she doesn't always speak the truth as gently as I want her to, but she speaks it, her version of it. She's listening, you know, she'll be listening, you know. But anyway, she said, it's annoying when you just constantly do this. When I'm thinking, there's a callus inside my ear, and I'm picking at my ear. Why do I do that? And my mom, in some of her more lucid moments, she told me when I was in college, you know, she said, and she'd catch me doing that when I'd be visiting her, and she said, you did that ever since you were a little boy. And I thought, and I'm still doing it. Why don't I do that? And that would just, see, now that I've done it, and isn't it just annoying you, me doing that? Okay. So make an allowance for others' faults. It's those personal quirks. It's that stuff that everybody has. Some of you are so introverted, you're annoying to people. And some of you are so extroverted, you talk all the time and you annoy people with that. Right? And some of you analyze everybody to death. Do you have a tendency to overanalyze something? Anybody here do that? Oh, you do? Okay. You just analyze it to death. You just can't stop. Does anybody have trouble with people that talk too much? I got to tell you this quick illustration. I got to let you go. I had to go to the VA. Yeah, you know about that. Always at the VA. Live there now, right? It's my second home. So I went into the little cafe there on 16. I'll tell you what it was, but I can't remember the name of it. Age does that. Acapulco. Everybody know where Acapulco is? I like their beef fajita taco salad. Their beef fajita is just wonderful, and they put that good cheese stuff on the bottom, you know? You just swim in it. So I was sitting there alone at my table. I just needed some quietness. I needed just to eat my meal quiet. I talked to the waiters, the waitresses, and have my little fun. There was a little group just off my right shoulder. I felt so sorry for them. And there was this group, and they were all there, and just so polite and everything, you know. But one sat there, and I was eating, and I began to get just kind of nervous. That person never stopped talking. I thought, do they breathe? Do they have gills? And I thought, I saw them served and everything, and it just kept going. And I thought, I'm going to hit you. It wasn't my business, but I was hearing it, right? I was eavesdropping. Except they were going on about some islands and trips and this, and I thought, and I could see those other poor people. I'd look over there, and they were going. I thought, oh, God help you poor people. Not one of you has ever gotten to say anything the whole meal. Have you ever been around someone like that? Weren't you just hoping Jesus would take them home before it was all over? Yeah. You know. Anyway, those are the things that God says, look, before you get upset over it, make allowance. Not for sins, but for quirks. Human frailties. He said, if you want to be really holy, practice this forgiveness thing. Here's the problem with that. Here's the problem most of us have. You never will be able to forgive somebody unless you accept forgiveness for yourself. You quit telling God that what you did in your past or what they did to you in the past is so big in your life you can just never get away from it. There comes a place where you say, God, I really messed this up. I'm the biggest mess up in my hometown or wherever. I blew it. And I'm sorry. And I ask your forgiveness. I repent of that. And you might be saying, I've done this 24 times, 50 times. Would you just be quiet for a moment instead of talking and listen to what God's saying to you, and you're going to hear this? I forgive you. Father, forgive them. I forgive you. Let it go. Then you can turn to someone else and truly, truly look them in the eye and say, it's okay. Yeah, it hurt. What you said, what you did, it really hurt. But I know forgiveness. And through me, God's given it to you. I forgive you. Let's let it go. And let's move on. And leave the dust behind. It's time to let God cast it in the depths of the sea and remove it as far as the east is from the west and start living the abundant life Jesus has given you to live. And then we just love because God loves us. Above all, clothe yourselves with love. It binds us all together. It surely does. A holy person, open the gift, open the box, let the holiness flow and the love with it. And by the way, it's okay to love who God made you to be. He made you really special, really unique, really holy. Why don't you just love Him for it? Say, thank you, God. Here I am. And He's saying, go get them, kid. Go get them. I made this world just for you. Now get after it. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the power, the love, and the grace. And we thank You for Your absolute holiness that flows in and through our lives. God, forgive us. God, heal us. God, set us free from all this junk. And would You help us, Lord? Open the gift and take the holiness and quit looking at it and start taking it in and letting it flow. God, thank You. You've come to give us life and give it in abundance. And here we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for being here. God bless you all.